Hey guys, I'm Ashley and I'm the daughter.
I'm Liz and I'm the mom.
And this is The Lesser Known. So today I'm going to be talking about Indiana Dunes National Park, and I'm going to go over the mysterious sinkholes of Mount Baldy, the singing sand dunes, little known facts about Lake Michigan, antifreeze frogs, and carnivorous plants located in Indiana Dunes National Park. But before we do, let's do our question of the day followed by shout-outs to our followers. So the question of the day is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
I don't think that I would want anything like, I don't really want to fly. I don't care about being super fast. I don't care about being super strong. Like, none of those appeal to me. But, and I was thinking maybe immortal. But then your friends and family die around you and you like look like this perfect person for eternity. So I'm going to not go with immortal. So if this is a superpower, I would say I would like to be extremely lucky. Like, no matter what I want or anything, just like I'm so lucky that just good things happen to me all the time. Almost like a fairy.
That's a superpower.
Almost like a fairy princess, like, you know, like where they just go around and like all these like great things happen to them. So I guess that would be my superpower. And I guess that's the reason why, just so that I don't necessarily need to live for eternity, but the life that I do live, I want it to be extremely lucky and fun and full of like good things.
Yeah, I think that's a superpower. That's a good one.
We'll count it. How about you?
So my superpower is not as cute as yours and unique. I think I would want – so I was stuck between two. And I think ultimately I would want teleportation because it sucks having to come see you and spending 6 hours on a flight. And it'd be nice to just be there in an instant or to go visit – any national park I wanted for like a weekend, I could just snap my fingers and go. So that would probably be the superpower that I choose. But my other one was going to be mind reading. And I know like a lot of people say, oh, well, why would you want to know what everyone thinks? But I mean, it kind of does tie back into the lucky part. Like, what if you could read the mind of like Elon Musk or, you know, who's the Facebook person?
Oh,
Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah. Like, if you could read their mind before they created all that stuff, you would have created it.
But how would you have known that they were going to be the ones that created it?
Well, you wouldn't. But just – I'm just saying, like, in passing.
How about time travel? If you're going to do that. Because
yeah,
if you read their mind, because you wouldn't know that he was the guy who was going to create it. But if you could time travel back to – before he created it or something.
I would still want to read minds though for other reasons. That's just like one of them. Because if you come across someone and you like can read their mind, you're like, oh, that's a good idea. I could invent that. Or
my only
if you genuinely want to know how someone feels about you, because people will lie to you, you know? And I want to know the truth.
Sometimes I would almost rather that though.
Why?
Not that I want to be lied to, but like I don't know that I want to know what everyone is thinking all the time.
Well, I'm nosy, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, and see, I don't like criticism, so I feel like they might be like, oh yeah, you're really good at that, and they're really thinking you are not good at that. But I would rather like have the confidence of thinking that I was, and then I could like instead of like just thinking that I don't know, I don't want to know what people are thinking. I don't want to know what people are thinking about me. If like, it's hard to explain, but I'm happy with living in my own little bubble.
I get it, but I would still not mind that superpower.
Yeah,
but ultimately, it's teleportation would be mine.
Okay. Yeah, and plus, then we could see each other more too, because like right now we see each other like twice a year. Which, speaking of, at the end of the month, I'm going out to see Ashley and we're going to go to Sedona. So maybe we were talking about doing maybe some Instagram lives and I'm pretty excited about that. We get to record together and that the day we're together, we'll have like our first in-person recording. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that'll be super exciting. My mom hasn't been to Sedona, so I wanted to take her there. Should we mention the thing that we want to do eventually?
We can. And then if anyone has any thoughts about it, maybe they can help us like figure this out.
Yeah, we'll put it
you
in can, the
You were the one that came up with it, so why don't you talk about it?
We'll put it in the Q&A and you guys can – as a poll, and you guys can vote yes or no if you would like this. So what we want to do is whenever me and my mom travel together, for you listeners, we will tell you where we're going to travel and our, the time frame. That way you guys can plan a trip out to wherever it is, and we are going to hide – painted rocks with our podcast on it. And then if you find the rock and you're the first five to find it, you get a free t-shirt or hat, some free swag. So it's almost like a scavenger hunt or geocaching if you've done that before.
Yeah, and I think we'll that would be clues. Really fun.
Yeah.
We'll give clues. I thought that was like such a cute idea. So you get, you know, you can try to go there within like a month after we've been there and see if you can find it.
Yeah.
I think that'd be so fun. That was a really good idea.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was I think that would be really cool. And we can, you know, drop hints like, oh, we're on this trail and we're doing this. Yeah. And then you guys can go find it and it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a game we can all play together.
Right, exactly. It keeps us all connected. That's what I want most out of this podcast is like keep everyone connected.
Yeah. And then maybe you can like take a picture and share it and I don't know. It just seems like really fun.
So yeah, like let us know your thoughts about that.
Okay. Do you want to jump into the Instagram followers? Speaking of our listeners.
Speaking of connecting. this week's five Instagram followers I wanted to give a shout out to are Paleo Hikers, Jimmy Outdoors. It's either Tanya or Tanya Travel Adventures. I think it's Tanya though. Alex Heisler. And our fifth one is Graham.
Our Graham.
And for those of you who don't know who Graham is, that is Grandma, which is my mom, Ashley's grandma. And we just found out that she just recently started listening. And I'm like so excited that she's been listening because, like, we talked about, like, you know, we've talked about on our Instagram stories, is part of the reason we started doing this podcast is Ashley and I live across the country from each other. So we don't really get to spend a lot of time together. And this podcast is our way of connecting. And then now it feels like we've brought Graham into this too. So now we're connecting with all of us because we're all like completely, she's in Indiana, I'm in Florida, Ashley's in Arizona. So we're just like all over
completely
the country.
Separated. Yeah.
Yes.
And she even called me and she's like, I started listening to your podcast and it feels like I'm talking to you guys. And we love that.
I love that.
Yeah. Because it does make us feel connected because we don't always get to see each other. And then even I've even had, you know, some of my friends that listen and they're like, oh, remember when you told me what happened in that national park? And I'm like, oh, did I tell you? And they're like, oh, wait, no, I was listening to your podcast. So it's just nice that it feels like we're talking because we do want to talk to you guys.
It's funny. Azaria said the same thing. Azaria, for those of you who don't know, is Ashley's younger sister. So I actually have two daughters. And she was listening to it one time and she's like, yeah, I feel like I'm on the phone with you guys. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
like that's so good.
So Indiana Dunes is located about an hour away from Chicago, Illinois, and its entrance actually starts in Gary, Indiana, and goes as far as Michigan City, Indiana, which is about a 15 to 20 mile long beachfront. It's the third smallest national park in the U.S., composed of approximately 15,000 acres of shifting sand dunes, beachfront, quiet woodlands, sunny prairies, and lush wetlands. The whole park was formed by a process called saltation, which is the movement of sand by turbulent air and water flow. Oh. And then it piles up and eventually forms larger dunes.
That's cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, me neither. And we lived there for most of my life and all of your life.
Right. Well, that's what I was about to say. It's funny because this is like so close, but I basically knew nothing about it. I just knew it was like a place I went as a kid. And I used to take you guys like literally. Yeah. I just like that's to us. That was the beach. We didn't know we had this like gem of a national park near us.
Yeah. Well, I think you're going to be like, oh man, I can't believe I took you guys there, because it is a little bit dangerous, which I didn't know. But also, I remember going there as a kid after dark when you're not supposed to, you know, mm-hmm. and you'd sneak on and, mm-hmm. you know, we like in high school, we were like, oh, we're so bad. But really, yeah, we just ran here. On the beach and then ran back.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Because
we were scared. So we mm-hmm. were just like, yeah, let's go there. And then we got out, we looked around, ran onto the beach, dipped our toe in the water and ran back.
Right. So naughty.
I know. Rebels. All right. So when the dunes finally became a national park after hundreds of years of fighting for it, the number of visitors per year increased by 1 million. As of 2021, the park has gotten approximately 3.1 million visitors a year on average since becoming a national park.
I can't believe that.
That's really? So cool. I'm honestly...
You're surprised?
Surprised it's not more. Yeah, because it's right next to Chicago.
I know, but like they turn it into a national park and then it's 1 million more people a year. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because of like – well, I know this is it. It's because of the fame of it. Like when people hear a national park, they're like, yeah, let's go. But if you were just like, oh, let's go to the dunes, it might sound cool to us because it was near where we lived mm-hmm. or, you know, people from Chicago. But – I just imagine Chicago being so busy and there is a train that'll take you right to the dunes. So I don't know. It's like you can't beat that. Most national parks you have to travel forever to get to.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It is crazy that it increased by 1 million just because it became a national park.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Just like put a name on it and then everyone's drawn to it all of a sudden.
I know. It's crazy. So out of those 3 million visitors, only approximately 19 deaths occur in a year, making it one of the less dangerous parks to visit, which I thought it would have been a lot more because do you know the most common cause of death?
I mean, it's the dunes. Drowning?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Oh, finally, this is the first one I've ever got.
I know. I was like, if you don't get this, because you told me like riptides take you out. So I'm like, if you don't get this, then I don't know if you're ever going to get one. So do you know when it became a national park?
No.
It was actually Indiana's first national park, and it was established on February 15th of 2019. When Donald Trump signed a spending bill that changed the name from Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore to Indiana Dunes National Park.
That is crazy. So maybe that's why we never knew it was like such a big deal. Well, that makes more sense now. Like why we didn't know that we were like surrounded by this national treasure.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. That's like, I can't believe that though. I was like, that was right before I moved to Florida.
Yeah.
So almost like the whole time it's been a national park, I haven't even been there.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the area.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the efforts to make the area a national park actually date back to 1916 when a guy named Stephen Mather, who was the first director of the National Park Service, began advocating for the creation of the Sand Dunes National Park. His efforts, though, were derailed by the start of World War One. And then after the war in 1926, the dunes became a state park. And then in 1966, so 40 years later, it gained protection from the National Park Service when it was designated as a national lakeshore, which gave it the same protections as a national park, but not the fame.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like Indiana Dunes State Park, to me, in my mind, that's like what it is called.
Yeah. Well, and what's actually cool is there are many preserved wrecked ships and vessels in Lake Michigan, including a B-17 bomber aircraft from World War II.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know.
I had no idea.
Me neither.
That always like blows my mind when I think of all the things that are sitting on the bottom of a lake.
Well, and one of the other reasons that many people wanted to protect the dunes was because it was considered one of the most biodiverse areas in North America, with more plant and animal species than the entire state of Hawaii. Yeah. And it's also considered the birthplace of ecology, which is like the Yeah, I think it's like the study of the ecosystem. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I think plants and...
And then another reason that they wanted to make it a national park was because of human destruction and overuse of the park's natural resources, which is why most things become a national park. But this is something interesting that I had no clue about, which makes sense because it happened in 1890. But... In 1890, sand miners began mining a particular sand dune known as the Hoosier Slide. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
It used to tower over 200 feet tall and had an iron-rich composition. It was found to produce a light aqua blue tint that enticed glass companies. The blue glass was thought to be beneficial in reducing the deterioration of canned fruit, which was a high selling point. By 1920, the dune had completely leveled. The former site is now flat and home to a power plant. Nearby sand dunes, such as Mount Baldy, which is 126 feet, are now protected as part of the Indiana Dunes National Park. Question to you was, have you heard of Mount Baldy?
Yes. I don't remember why, because it's been like a million years, but
yeah.
I know when you go to the dunes, it was like, oh, that's Mount Baldy.
Yeah. So it's actually the largest living sand dune in the national park, meaning that it moves approximately 20 feet every year in the park and is also the most dangerous. Yeah.
It moves 20 feet?
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I know.
It's not like 20 inches. Like I could see something moving 20 inches, but 20 feet?
20 feet a year. Yeah.
From what?
Just the wind, and I guess it's so like the sand particles are so tiny that it
does it move one blows, way and then the next year move the other way? Because I mean, if it moves 20 feet a year, isn't it going to eventually end up in like Chicago or something?
I mean, by the time it keeps moving, it probably moves whichever way the wind goes, and you know, the wind shifts a lot and it could go left, right, up, down. Maybe not up, but
right, or down.
Well, you'll see. Okay. So it's the most dangerous because in 2013, a six-year-old boy named Nathan Woosner was visiting the shores of Lake Michigan with his family when he suddenly dropped and became trapped beneath 3.35 meters or 11 feet of sand when a sinkhole opened up on Mount Baldy. He remained trapped for more than 3 hours before being freed by rescue workers. Most people that are buried in the sand suffocate within 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So he was in there for 3 hours. Yeah. So keep that in mind. When rescuers found him, he was in an upright position and had received a small cut on his forehead when a shovel hit him while digging. Oof. He was unresponsive and rushed to the ER via ambulance. During the ride to the hospital, a responder noticed that his head began to bleed, meaning that he was still alive, and then he began to breathe. So he was rushed inside and treated by medical staff. Nathan walked out of the hospital 2 weeks later with the sand mostly removed from his lungs, the scrapes on his head mostly healed, and it's a mystery as to how he survived, and Nathan recalls nothing.
Yeah, I do remember that. How the heck did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, it's like shocking. But I mean, I'm so happy for him. Like, because I think about that. Yeah. And, like, I remember when that happened, I was thinking, oh, like, of that happening to you two. And I was like, oh, God, just the thought of, like, losing your kid in the sand and, like, what are they thinking and all this stuff. And, like, I'm just, like, so thankful that he came out. And I remember being so shocked when we found out, like, the kid was alive.
So there are a few hypotheses that surround like why this happened. Doctors hypothesized that he must have had an air pocket from a tree that was also buried and decaying. And so it created like some oxygen in there. Or that he'd been saved by some version of the mammalian diving reflex. You know what that is, right? It's basically like if you throw a baby in the water, they can like slow their like heart rate and stuff and stay under longer and their nostrils like automatically close up.
Oh.
So, and they can swim, which is crazy. But
I have heard that.
Yeah. But they think it was some version of that because it then would have slowed down his vital organs to conserve energy or mm-hmm. conserve oxygen. But how these sinkholes happen is another mystery that mm-hmm. they've hypothesized, but they aren't really sure. After the incident, the park was shut down for a few years, while park rangers and researchers began to find more sinkholes and come up with theories as to why these are happening. One specific researcher who was on the scene when this happened theorized that a new geological phenomenon was forming below the surface of the dunes because it had not been explained yet. Normally, when dunes are formed, they're formed from winds blowing sand around and collecting at a certain point, which would leave little room for air pockets and things like sinkholes to form. And mm-hmm. sinkholes normally form when there's erosion that removes the support structure under a layer of the earth. So it doesn't make sense that Mount Baldy would have created a sinkhole. But what mm-hmm. some people believe, like researchers and scientists, they believe that when the dune moves those 20 feet a year, they move over trees and then the trees begin to decay and stuff because they're not getting oxygen and water and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that creates, like, if you think of stacks of trees.
Yeah.
And then if they just decay, mm-hmm. then the sinkhole will form.
Because it's like a— that makes sense.
I know. Yeah.
Right. Because it would create like a hole.
Mm-hmm. So that's like the most up-to-date theory that they have. Yeah. I couldn't find really anything else.
That's really interesting. I had no idea. Right. Now I am a little scared to go to the dunes.
I know. Like, that made me afraid to go to any sand dune. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the singing sand dunes. We've mentioned this in our Death Valley episode. And like Death Valley, these singing sands are a very conditional, natural phenomenon that occurs when everything is just right. Unlike Death Valley, each grain of sand in this park needs to be from 0.1 millimeters to 0.5 millimeters in circumference and nearly perfectly rounded by years of erosion. The sand at the dunes is up to 90% mineral quartz and silica left behind long ago by retreating glaciers, which is another necessary factor in the dunes' ability to sing.
Oh.
The other 10% of the sand's composition is minerals and sediment like magnetite, iron, and a number of feldspars, which are just other minerals like potassium and sodium. When the humidity content of the air is exactly where it needs to be and the wind blows the sand at a certain speed, this unique combination of factors results in an unusual sound. And we're going to play a clip of that now. Okay. So to me, it kind of sounds like a lawnmower. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be more like a whistling singing.
Yeah, I think Death Valley, it was more whistly.
Mm-hmm.
Another unique thing about the dunes that I briefly mentioned earlier is its biodiversity in plant and animal species. So the park has 46 species of mammals, 71 species of fish, 60 species of butterflies and dragonflies, 18 species of amphibians, and 23 species of reptiles.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the more notorious amphibian species is the wood frog. Their call sounds like a quacking duck. And here's a clip that I'll play for you so you can hear what it sounds like. So that's not even the most interesting thing about them, though. These frogs can tolerate completely freezing up to 65% of their body as they pump any water within their body to their extremities. At the same time, they also pump large amounts of glucose from their liver into their cells, which creates a syrupy sugar solution that acts as like an antifreeze for their body. I know.
I guess that's really smart, though, because it freezes so much there. I didn't think about that. Like, how do the frogs and all that live? Because down here in Florida, when it gets like 30, the iguanas fall from the trees. So those frogs, like, you know, getting negative 10. Oh, that's so smart.
Yeah, I know. And their blood will freeze, their heart will stop beating, and all breathing and muscular movement cease until early spring as they begin to thaw and reanimate.
So it's hibernation, basically, right?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just weird that they can unfreeze themselves.
Right.
Like, oh, it's getting cold. Let me just shrivel up.
So I actually have a real story that this just happened last week. There was a big lizard got into the pool, and he must have been there overnight, and he was hanging onto the side of the pool, and it was really cold out, and he was like basically, he appeared to be like frozen, like he wasn't moving, but I could tell he was alive, so I grabbed the net, and I took him out, and he was just like, he wasn't, basically wasn't responding, but I was pretty sure he was still alive, so I put him out where the sun would be shining, and I came back a couple hours later, and he was gone. Aww. So he had to warm back up. That's what they do. They like freeze, and when they freeze, they become very still.
Yeah.
And then poor when they guy. Warm up, they take off.
So in addition to the animals and mammals, the park is also home to over 1,100 flowering plant species and ferns.
Hmm.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Some of the uncommon and unusual carnivorous plant species that are there are the narrow-leafed sundew and the purple pitcher plant, which are similar to Venus flytraps, and they're super pretty. Oh. I know. I didn't know that was there.
Do they eat meat?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Like, yeah. I didn't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see a picture.
Yeah, we should post it because it's really, really pretty.
Yeah. And I also want to see what it looks like as far as the, because I know Venus flytraps have almost like a mouth. So.
Yeah. These ones don't really. So another plant species that the dunes have is called the prickly pear cactus, which is crazy because we have those here in Arizona.
Also, isn't that a fruit?
Yeah, it is.
Isn't there a prickly? Is that the same thing?
I think so. I would assume.
I don't remember ever seeing those.
Yeah. I didn't know Indiana had cactuses.
I kind of did. When we were in Chesterton, we had outside in front of our house. Do you remember that? I think you may have fallen into it. We had all those cactuses out front.
I think that was Azaria.
Okay, yeah. Because we had all those cactuses, and I know someone fell in it because I had to pick out all of the little things.
So the land of Indiana Dunes National Park is fascinating in and itself, but so is the lake that surrounds it. Lake Michigan is the third largest Great Lake, and it's the only Great Lake within U.S. territory that is surrounded by U.S. land. It borders four states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. It's one of very few places where you can find a Petoskey stone. Have you heard of those?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it looks really cool. I want to post a picture of this too. It's a rock and a fossil that's often pebble-shaped and is composed of a fossilized coral.
Mm. Oh, you know what? I think I might know what that is. And if that's the case, there were tons and tons of them. When I was a little kid at recess, I used to like find them on the playground.
Yeah.
I thought they were like beads or something. They look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about. I used to do the same thing.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. The lake also has an underwater boat graveyard.
I would love to see that. Like, love. Like, that's from one thing afar. Totally. Yeah. I'm not going to go like diving, but I would love to. If you could just like, I wish you could just like take all of the water of the lake and we could just see what's on the bottom. And then put the water back, obviously.
Right. They have some really cool pictures that we should post.
Okay.
Because it's actually known to be one of the most dangerous lakes because so many people, ships, and boats go missing, which is also why it's said to have its own Bermuda Triangle that they call the Michigan Lake Triangle. Yeah, and there's so much stuff under there, so we should definitely post a picture.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love all these Bermuda Triangle places.
I know, me too. And depending on which source you look at, approximately 1,500 vessels have been found in Lake Michigan, including planes, ships, boats, and things like that.
Wow, 1,500. Do people actually go out looking for this?
Yeah.
Or they just come across them? Okay, so there's like not treasure hunters, but like people.
Right.
Okay.
I feel like maybe one person was like, oh my God, what did my foot touch? And then they looked and it was like a big old boat. And then from there, they were like, we need to get some researchers on this.
Yeah.
And then they started going out looking. But I would not want to dive in that lake. Mm-mm. I mean, it's just like dirty, nasty, dark.
Yeah, it's very dark.
You know?
Yeah. I remember that. And cold, like very, very cold.
Yeah, it's freezing. And that's actually all the information I'm going to leave you with for Lake Michigan, because I know that you'll probably go over it in more detail along with possible hauntings in the lake and things like that.
Just crazy. We feel like very – this feels very like close to us because we grew up here. And I actually know people who have drowned in that lake. Like people I went to high school with drowned. And because it's because of the riptides. Yeah. And like I remember the they used to always tell us be like undertow. That's the word I'm looking for. And I remember that because the people I just specifically remember one girl for sure that died from drowning there. And that's what it was. She was like a great swimmer and everything. It's just that undertow like pulled her way out and she never made it back. And it's just be very careful.
Well, and that's like one of the things I remember you telling us as kids is like, don't go too far because you can get pulled. Like there's an undertow and you explained what it was. And I still remember that.
Yeah. Just like be very careful.
Yeah. It's scary. But before we end, I do want to say if you do visit Indiana Dunes, you should check out the 3 Dune Challenge if you're an active person. I'm going to post a link below. It's a unique challenge that Indiana thought of to get its people out and active. The challenge is to take the 3 Dune Trail and hike up all 3 of the tallest dunes in the park. And if you take a picture at the end of it, then you can go to the visitor center and get a free bumper sticker.
Oh,
I know.
It's so cute.
I know. I thought it was
and
cool
it is a lot harder than you think walking up those dunes. Mm-hmm. It sounds like big deal. There's some big hills I have to walk up, but walking up
the sand
isn't the same as walking on flat land. Like by the time you get to the top, you're dying. You feel like you're walking backwards because of the sand. Yeah.
Did you ever remember how people would walk or run up that one really big hill and then run down?
Well, that's what I was about. I was about to say, ask if you wanted to talk about this. I remember even like when I was younger and when I would take you guys, people would go up that big hill and then sometimes like do cartwheels down it. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Or like backflips down it because it was like sand. So it was more cushiony, but also it was like a steep hill, but it like the perfect incline to be able to do like gymnastics down this, this huge sand dune. And sometimes it would get out of control, but.
Well, I was going to say, I think I've always thought it was funny. And I can say this because it happened to me too. So I'm not like making fun of people.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was funny when people would run down the hill and they would like lose their footing and they'd roll down the rest of the way.
It's definitely a known thing. Yeah.
That was probably the most fun of the dunes. Mm-hmm. And also, I do want to say Mount Baldy is included in those 3 dunes. So if you are afraid, they do have it blocked off to where you can't go past a certain point so you won't get stuck in a sinkhole.
That's good.
Yeah. They've mapped it out. And it's weird because it's like a whole section, like a whole line.
Hmm. Like where they suspect it could happen?
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's good. At least they're like on top of it.
Yeah. And I think they update it every so often and like – there's definitely fences and warnings and saying to stay on trail and all that stuff. So if you don't veer from the trail, you're probably good and you can do the three dune challenge.
Yeah. Also, the trails are just like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's all I have for Indiana Dunes.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us this week and we'll see you again next week with hauntings from my mom.
And the dunes.
And the dunes.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.